everyone, and welcome to the first Gilcast of 2020. I'm Davis Maddock. I'm joined by Sammy Reed. I'm not joined by Nate Noling, who apparently forgot we were doing this, already fell asleep. I mean, we have a lot of theories on where Nate is right now. Sammy, what's your favorite theory?
So my theory, first off, we got to tell people about what happened this morning. Apparently Nate screwed up his CSV upload because he does it from his own program instead of using Roto Grinders or Daily Roto. He has his own stuff, and he screwed it up for the fifth or sixth time since we've been doing the show.
Yeah. Since we've been doing the show, I would say about six times this happened where he has texted us and been like, frick, I ruined it. Gosh darn it. I'm so upset. I have it exactly. Let's see here. We got it in our text. I gotta find it. Didn't get my lineups in. I have the lineup from yesterday. My God, my frickin' upload code. I'm so upset. I mean, it's not a dead lineup, but I'm tilted. Honestly, what I was gonna throw out for cash would have been real bad anyway.
So Nate starts off his day by screwing up his entire upload and setting all his money on fire. And now it's the first Gilcast of the year. And Nate Noling, I think he's either asleep or he's wandering the neighborhood with his dog, inconsolable that his CSV upload did not work and that his precious database let him down yet again.
I mean, Nate logged out. For when people say they log out, they don't actually log out of their tilting slate. But Nate actually logged out. He logged out at 11:45 p.m. Central Time. After Davante Adams's first touchdown, he logged out. That was it. That was it for Nate because, it happens.
Can you just picture Nate pulling his Ethernet cord completely out of the wall and just frick you? And just now he's got no internet. He can't jump on. He's logged off.
That could be, right? He straight up actually got logged off by himself. So week one, it was good, man. My teams were terrible. I got owned, and we're going to talk about getting owned here in a moment. But I got to say, this has got to be the best attitude I've ever had while getting owned. It was mostly an enjoyable experience just to have football on my TV.
Really? Okay, so you're just enjoying sports. This is a holistic.
Well, all my high stakes teams did really well. I'm in a good position to either win or have a good contribution to total points starting for all my high stakes team. LaVisca scored a touchdown. I really did not think LaVisca was going to score a touchdown week one. And all these dusty running backs that people were drafting in these high stakes leagues sucked. They were all pretty bad today.
Chris in the fourth.
Yeah, Chris Carson had a good day, and then David Johnson was good on Thursday night. But Ronald Jones played 75% of the snaps for the Buccaneers. He didn't look great, but he was clearly the lead guy. So it's just a lot of the things I've been holding, and the Cardinals won outright. And so I have all these Kyler Murray for MVP bets and Arizona to win the division bets that they kind of had to win that game for those to be live. And they did. So we're feeling good. So that's my happy part of the show. My frustrating part of the show.
Let's talk about your lineup. First, why don't we give Nate a call?
We should give Nate a call. You give him a call. You dial Nate up, and we'll explain. So this morning, we actually had the forethought to do the Gilcast three-man, right? We were like, you know what? Let's get the invite sent out. We got it done. So I'm in here with the whirling dervish and Nate N. And I guess we should go back a little bit to this morning, kind of in the decision-making process. I thought the main decision points of the slate were, do you play Lamar and do you play McCaffrey?
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system. 2, 2, 4, 6.
He doesn't even have his voicemail set up.
I paused the recording so that people don't know Nate's phone number.
Smart.
There we go. Yeah, so that's smart.
Hey, Nate, how's it going, man? This is Sammy. I'm calling for Nemo Noling. Look, man, I know your lines were really bad today. I know you lost a bunch of money. I'm sorry about the CSV upload. I recommend that you use, like, a better program the next time. But I just wanted to check in on you, man. We're doing the Gilcast, and, yeah, I hope you're not too broke, man. If you need some money, hit me up. I won today. Things were good. Okay. Hadala.
So that's Nate. Nate not being here, it debased me to the lowest level I can get, which is it made me make a phone call. Before we started recording, I actually picked up my phone and used its phone functionality to call Nate, which, I mean, honest to God, really, I hate to do it, Sammy. I really hate to do it.
This is the first voicemail I've left for somebody in 6 years.
Nate is gonna look and be so pissed. He's gonna be like, why are these guys freaking calling me?
I can't wait. He's broke and he's gonna be real mad at us. It's gonna be awesome. Okay, let's talk about your crappy lineup and my awesome lineup. And we can shade Nate because Nate's lineup was the worst of all.
So I did some things right, I think, which was that I played Boston Scott in all my lineups on both sides, and he got hurt and he left this game. I think that he ran about as bad as possible. I think he would have gotten 12 on DraftKings, kind of worst case scenario had he stayed in, right? Does that sound about right to you?
It sounds right. What quarter did he go out? Because I only had half an eyeball on this game.
He left before halftime.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he left early.
Okay.
So he might have left the first drive of the third quarter. One of the two.
Okay. So the guys we all played Boston Scott. And he was widely owned on DraftKings. I mean, he was 62% in the massive $25 double up. So I think that was fine.
We all played the same three running backs.
We did. God. So I'm not sure if we were sharp to actually do this. So the three guys that we all played were McCaffrey, Boston Scott, and Antonio Gibson. Are we fish for doing this? I'm not sure about playing both Scott and Gibson. It opened up a lot of other things, which was great, but
no. Gibson on DraftKings, full point PPR, like he and I know that Barber ended up being the leading rusher in this game, but for the entirety of the first half, Gibson was the primary guy, and if he just gets one of the two goal line touchdowns that Barber got, we're feeling very like it's a helicopter play, right? Like you get it would have been like 13 from a 4K guy. You're like, yeah, that was great. I made the right play, and he wasn't even really involved as a wide receiver, which I again don't think will be the case moving forward. I think that he is more likely to be used in a passing down role, because I think what'll happen over time is JD McKissick is going to completely go away. I think JD McKissick snaps are going to go to zero, basically.
As he often does. But the reality is Gibson had two targets. Like, that's what we were getting for. I think the goal line work, like, yeah, they might gadget him some stuff, but I wasn't like convinced he was going to be the goal line guy, even though he could get some work there.
I got to say, I actually was pretty convinced he was going to be the goal line guy. And this is why. They cut Adrian Peterson, who was that guy for them last year, even when Darius Geis was healthy and this organization used to really like Darius Geis. And kind of the way that Adrian Peterson talked about Gibson after he got cut made it seem like they just believe in this guy, like that this guy is their new Christian McCaffrey. Like it really did. It seemed to me like there's just a lot of organizational buy-in behind this guy.
Gotcha. So you believe that there's organizational buy-in, hearing it secondhand from Adrian Peterson, who
the coaches have all said that stuff too. But I don't you sort of feel like players are more honest about that stuff than coaches? Because coaches will just be nice about everybody.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, Adrian Peterson did tell it like it is. He's like, I'm old and busted. Gibson's new hotness. Like, they're going with the new hotness. I get it. But the reality is, like, dude, he got 11 touches in a real competitive game. And I think it's fine. But the reality is, like, I thought he would be a good 4K wide receiver or 4K running back play because he would get.
I thought he'd get targeted. Yeah, I thought it'd be like his touch distribution was 9 carries, 2 targets. I thought it would be like 8 to 12 carries, 4 to 6 targets. Right, like I thought it would kind of be more in that, like kind of Eckler-y basically, but for a bad team. Right.
You mean old Eckler.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get to that. We'll talk about some of that. We'll talk about some of that stuff.
But when you're Washington, anytime you can give Peyton Barber 17 carries and watch him rumble for 29 rushing yards, you kind of got to do it. You know, you kind of got to give him the 17 carries.
So was Gibson a terrible play? I don't think so. Was he like a must play? No, I think that, you know, constructions where you didn't play McCaffrey and you played Kamara and Cook, I think those would have been fine as well.
So you were not on team Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs ended up having a complete windmill show
and was mega chalk.
We didn't play him. I don't know, man. He was getting highly touted. I was surprised to see him 50% and McCaffrey only 20. Like, but McCaffrey only got 3 targets or 3 receptions anyways, and didn't look good for, frankly, most of this game. Does that change the way you're kind of looking at him moving forward if he remains this far?
Yes. If you add those 6 points of floor for, you know, 4 catches for 20 yards every week for Josh Jacobs, he becomes Dalvin Cook.
Hmm. I mean, Dalvin's cool.
Dalvin's team just gave Alexander Mattison a bunch of work, you know?
Yeah, but they still gave Dalvin touchdowns when they were down like 3 scores. I mean, he's still there, dude. They took him out late when it was over.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my point is they're going to be used in the same way if that is how they use him. Like, not to McCaffrey, Elliott, Barkley levels, but to the point where they're never having single-digit fantasy point games because they're involved enough in the passing game.
Right. Okay, so we played those three guys. I think it's a little thin in the context of this slate to rely on, like, 2 kind of part-time guys. I think Boston Scott was a good play.
No, Scott was an absolute windmill. Anyone who wants to go back in time and relitigate the history of this play, I'm not having it. He was an absolute windmill.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is him and Antonio Gibson together, because they're both like part-time guys. You know,
but
what I mean?
I did not consider Boston Scott a part-time guy at all. I thought that he was 15 rushes, 5 catches, and you put it in the bank.
Yeah, I was never not considering Boston Scott. I guess it's just thin going Scott and Gibson together. But we did it, and McCaffrey ended up getting there. He ended up with 28.4 because he's just Christian McCaffrey.
He didn't really get there in the context of the slate because that's always the interesting thing because, you know, on every slate is different, right? Yeah. And some slates, 25, you're like, man, there were so many pot chalk busts that 25 was great. But when Jacobs is getting there, and let's see who are some of the other chalkier players. Chris Carson got there. He probably wasn't super chalky in cash. Who were some of the other chalky guys? I know that obviously the chalk, it was like a relatively high scoring day.
Yeah, I mean Kamara.
Kamara had a huge day. Jacobs got 35. So it was mostly the fact that McCaffrey did not outscore Jacobs and scored the same as Kamara. It made him fine, but it made him like basically a break-even-ish level play because 25 doesn't cut it at that salary.
Okay, so we all played the same 3 running backs. Let's talk about where good old Nemo Noling and Marlon Mattek went off the rails. Let's get into this. You guys both decided to pay up for Lamar Jackson at quarterback.
Which I thought was fine. Lamar Jackson is going to end the year scoring the most fantasy points, and DFS is actually a little bit different than season-long fantasy in the sense that, like, you just need the raw points. Like, just, like, the raw points of a quarterback who can get 35 without breaking a sweat. It's pretty, pretty valuable. The other guy I was considering was Cam Newton, and Tyrod. Tyrod, I really did not want to play, but I knew that he would be popular in cash, like high stakes cash games. And I knew that he projected pretty well, both in our stuff at Daily Roto and at the Blitz. But with Tyrod, it's just the most ultimate five condom strategy of all time, right? Because you, what you're really saying is, I hope quarterback doesn't matter, and I really hope he gets 18. That is what you're saying when you play Tyrod.
That's right. Let me just strap one more rubber on just to be sure. And Tyrod, dude, Tyrod threw for 208 yards and ran for 7 yards.
Wait, did he throw for a touchdown at all?
He most certainly did not.
So he got like 8 DraftKings points.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds right.
Yeah. So he just was bad.
That's correct. As were so, the entire Chargers and Bengals, all of it.
So yeah, that game was terrible. Josh Kelly looking like a real thing.
Look, I mean, I feel like Josh Kelly just screwed my wife. I mean, I have so much Eckler in season along, and this guy just tucked me repeatedly. There was a point where he, like, they tired him out at the goal line, so finally they put Eckler in to spell him at the goal line, and then since he calls a timeout, and so everyone goes back to the sidelines, catches their breath, Kelly comes right back in. Oh, my God. I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'm freaking out. Austin Eckler is... he's dust. It's over.
And you may think as if this is an overreaction. It's not. Like if playing with Tyrod, he is going to be what's a good comp here? Like he's going to be Ronald Jones. Austin Eckler and Ronald Jones have the same fantasy value in their current situations given the surrounding stuff.
I'm so happy. Okay, so you ended up paying $8,100 for Lamar Jackson, which, you know, Jackson was.
And okay. let me tell you, let me just give my thought process for why I didn't play Cam in cash. I did play him, I think like 15% on FanDuel and like 20% in GPPs on DraftKings, but I didn't play him in cash. And really my only defense for that is I believe in Cam. I believe the team wants him to run. I think he is good. I wanted to see him be healthy enough to run in one game just to kind of, and that is like, I don't mean, that's a little bit of like fish logic of like, you got to see it before you believe it. And obviously the really good gamblers and prognosticators are the ones who can do it before they see it. But
thank you. Thanks, David.
Yeah. Good for you. But
I appreciate that. You know, I got to say, like, it's logical to say, hey, I want to take a look at Cam. Sometimes you just got to feel it. Sometimes you just gotta know.
It's more of an art, bro.
It's a little bit more of an art is what I'm trying to get at here.
I mean, here, I will go look right now. I know that at Daily Roto, when we did our first projection, so like no edits or anything, like just the raw numbers, Cam was our second highest projected quarterback. He ended as our, on the main slate, 1, 2, 3, our sixth highest projected quarterback. But I didn't do it. I played Lamar. I did play Lamar. I feel okay about the decision. That's not where I think I made a mistake.
Well, where do you think you made a mistake, my friend?
So this is what I did. I loved my lineup, right? I loved Lamar. I loved McCaffrey. I loved Scott. I felt good about Gibson. With Lane Johnson out, with all these linemen out for the Eagles, I felt pretty confident that going Washington football team wasn't going to kill me. Like I thought they would be, I did not think they would get 15. You know, I thought they would get like in between 6 and 10, which is all that you would want from a cheap defense. And I felt okay about Herndon, right? I thought he would be popular enough. And we've talked about this a bunch on the show before where cheap tight ends, it's kind of like touchdown or bust. And if they don't get there, it's actually pretty unlikely to kill you.
You didn't want to see it from Gibson first? You didn't want to catch a game and see if he could still run around a little bit before you played?
Oh, I know he's good. I know he's good. I don't have any concerns about Gibson's health. So this is what I did. I loved everything about my lineup. I was maxed out on salary. And Chris Godwin was there at $7,100. And I couldn't get the $100 to get Davante Adams, who had, I think, 46 DraftKings points, and I knew.
Well, hang on, Davis. Let me look at my lineup. He got 44.6 points exactly. That's what it says under the lineup that I built.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty good. So let's see what it, let's see what I said in our group chat when I made this when I made this decision.
Please.
Yeah, so I basically said it's 40-60 to go against me, but it's like kind of a coin flip. And you know, when you flip coins, sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. You know, it's not, you would not bet your life on Godwin or on Adams outscoring Godwin, even though we all recognize Adams was a better play, right? We all universally recognize it.
That's right. So, okay. So what, how much did the Evans news play into this egregious decision, this fishy decision?
Yeah. Had I known that Evans was going to be active and healthy, like no decoy, 100%, I don't make this decision. So in that sense, Evans going doubtful to questionable to, I think it was rap sheet. I'm not sure. There was the report this morning, you know, of Evans is going to mostly be a wind sprinter, right?
And he was like he.
Dude, well, everyone on the Buccaneers was a wind sprinter.
Except for Tom Brady, he doesn't sprint. He doesn't do anything. He just stands back there and throws incompletions and gets sacked and things like this. I mean, did you have any concern at all that Tom Brady would not be able to get it done?
So this has actually been my theory on Godwin the whole offseason. I actually think Brady sucking is a negative for Rojo, for Evans, for Gronkowski, for O.J. Howard. I thought it was the best compared to with Winston for Godwin, because Godwin would just be Edelman on methamphetamines, right? And that's actually not how they used him, though. Watching that game, Godwin played on the outside a ton. He really was not playing in the slot. It was Scotty frickin' Miller.
Scotty Miller, baby!
Yeah, and I mean, like, Godwin is going to have a good fantasy season. It's going to end up being fine, but, you know, the visions in your head of, like, 16 targets for 14 receptions and 116 yards, like a vintage Edelman game. You know, just that's not. I think the Buccaneers are just not good enough on offense for that to happen, right? So
did Gronkowski play? 3 targets, 2 catches, 11 yards.
Buddy, they ran a 3rd-and-13 screen for him.
Smooth, smooth. Things are great in Tampa Bay. Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
It's not quite. Yeah. Yep. All right. Yeah. Well, you put all your faith in a big game, Tom, and he didn't come through for you. I kind of wanted to play Godwin too. I'm not going to lie, but I was never, ever, 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 ever making a cash lineup without.
Yeah. Godwin. Adams was a must play. There's no defending the decision that I made. He was a legit must play.
This was, I mean, and Nate didn't play Adams either. He was by far and away the best wide receiver value on the slate at 7.3 on DK. Like, I mean, he's just like a complete alpha. And I just don't get why you guys didn't play him.
Well,
you should have played him.
So I'm looking at the DraftKings salaries right now. And I think one of the reasons why I found it so hard to find that extra 200 to get from Godwin to Adams is, you know, we all thought that Marvin Jones was like this great play, right? We all just assumed he was a great play. And I guess it's just because there wasn't an easy pivot right off of Marvin Jones, because Alshon was out, Debo was out, the New York Jets for Jameson Crowder had a team total of like 6 points, I think. And I know Crowder had a great game, right? I think he scored a long touchdown. He got the 100-yard bonus, but like I was never playing Jameson Crowder in cash games. No. And then it was Marquise Brown, who was just as much a must play as Adams. And then it was guys like Kendrick Bourne, Anthony Miller. It's like, and so then I'm just looking at an entirely different roster construction. I guess the one thing I could have done that I maybe could have talked myself into before lock would have been DeSean Jackson over Marvin Jones and then like a more expensive defense, right?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I think we're probably all pretty fishy for
like when I was doing my lineup, I was like, dude, Galladay's out. Marvin Jones has to be in. Like, he's just the best play at that price point. You were telling me, bro, the DR projections, you know, they love Marvin Jones. And I'm like, yeah, you know, that makes sense. And, you know, who else would they throw it to? And I think I might have been stupid for, like, thinking this, because Marvin Jones isn't going to change who he is because Galladay's out. Like, I thought maybe he might get more red zone looks, but, you know, what are you talking
that,
about?
Like, I mean, that's why you play Marvin Jones. Historically, he's been a great touchdown scorer. Like, that – and so you give him – you know, 20% more of the red zone looks, 5% more of the targets, like, he becomes a very great play at his price.
I thought he was a good play, and I still think he was a fine play, but I think my unwillingness to come off of Marvin Jones was probably a mistake. Like, when I was looking for salary, because I really wanted to play both Godwin and Adams,
yeah.
I was just like, dude, can't go down from Marvin Jones. I didn't want to go to Hollywood. And I really liked Hollywood, but I was not nearly as confident in him in cash as you were, kind of because of the reasons that we saw that Baltimore can just, like, push the rectums in of the Cleveland Browns and not have to do anything in the second half. Hollywood still got there. He still did great, but they didn't do anything in the second half because they didn't have to. And that's not what I'm looking for out of, like, a wide receiver in cash.
Yeah. So Marvin Jones, whatever. I mean, I don't know. I think another thing too is that another reason why my team might have been actual, I mean, clearly was not the optimal construction, but another thing that I should have considered is I actually loved Hockenson so much, and thinking of Hockenson, you know, kind of taking that next step as a player this year, which is something that I definitely believed looking at my fantasy teams, that probably should have been something that I considered, because I really wanted to play Hockenson. Our projections really liked Hockenson as well. And there was a Cam, Devontae Adams, Hockenson, Colts defense team.
Oh, buddy.
That I think that was actually the first team that I texted in our group chat this morning.
Yep, it was.
So I'm playing more tournaments this year and playing more on FanDuel this year. So I think that's also another thing as why I'm not, like, just absolutely berating myself. It's because it's like the edge in cash games, it's bigly small. Like, you guys are hearing Sammy and I were basically had the same thought process, but just decided two things different within 10 minutes, and that swung the day. And
oh my God, I literally got in a fight with my wife at 9:56 a.m. because I was, like, considering a swap off Adam Thielen, and she was like, "Can you take the baby for a minute?" And I'm like, "It's almost lock," you know. I'm like cooking breakfast, and I have my laptop, and, like, literally tilted out, and I just, like, I'm vaping out the back door, and I'm just like, "Fuck it." Sorry, just, like, slam the door, and just I'm like, screw it, like, I'm just, you know, I'm gonna keep Adam Thielen in my lineup, and that turned out to be good, actually.
Run hot, baby, run hot. I mean, with Adam Thielen,
dude. I mean, I'm not even sure my lineup was good, but I had both Devontae Adams and Adam Thielen, and ended up scoring almost 180 points in cash. I mean, Thielen is just, like, he's an alpha, you know. Without Stephon Diggs there, he is a legitimate alpha. It's just, like, very, very small target tree there. They have no interest in throwing to pretty much anybody else. You know, BC Johnson occasionally, but it's just like, dude, they don't throw to anybody else. Like, he's the guy. I think he ended up with, like, 56% of their air yards, 32% target share.
Eight targets of 25 passes.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Two touchdowns. Yeah, you ran like the sun, and that's okay. It's okay to run like the sun. Also, the Vikings defense is terrible, and I don't think I really considered the shootout potential of this game enough. Because you know, when you're thinking of the Godwin versus Adams 1v1, you're sort of thinking, like, okay, worst case scenario is Adams gets 27, right? 110 yards, 6 catches, gets a 100-yard bonus, scores a touchdown, right? You're really not thinking – he sets a new career record for receptions and scores twice. Like, that's not really in your line of thinking, you know? Because and I guess I would say one thing is, like, was Adams like the probably the best wide receiver play of the slate? I mean, for me, other than Hollywood, yeah, probably. But, like, in general, should you be that terrified of a 1v1 to, like, ruin your whole lineup? I mean, probably not. Actually, now that I'm really looking at my lineup, I should have just freaking played Logan Thomas, dude. I should have just played Logan Thomas. Chris Hurt, like, what am I getting out of Chris
Herndon? You're saying that because he scored. You're saying that because he scored.
I like Logan Thomas.
I do, too. He was, like, my third best ball tight end in a lot of leagues. But the truth is, you can't go into a cash game and say, you know what, I'm playing Logan Thomas, Antonio Gibson, and the Washington
defense. And the Washington defense, yeah.
You can't do it, because then you're going to jump on the GoCast later when you lose all your money, and we are going to roast your ass for playing three Redskins, and, you know, what do you get, nine spots? Like, 33% of your cash lineup? You can't do it. So that's just the reality. So I don't blame you for not doing Thomas. I think the move in tournaments – like, I had a lot of McLaurin in tournaments. I had a lot of Logan Thomas in tournaments, just trying to get off of what I thought was going to be chalky Gibson, but he ended up not being that chalky. I think after – like, what do you think Gibson's ownership percentage would have been if we didn't get Boston Scott?
See, that's the thing. It probably would have been closer to, like, 30, 35, but I don't think he was getting that touted, though. You know what I mean?
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. Like he was really prominently covered in our stuff, and I think the ETR guys liked him. But, like, on, like, RG and stuff, he was not a big part of their content at all.
Yeah, RG was really big on Jacobs. They were popping Jacobs a whole lot, and that's why we saw him at, like, 50% owned. And, you know, Roto-Grinder's pretty sharp because Jacobs did okay, as I remember from the slate.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm doubly tilted about this Jacobs thing, because not only did I get owned in this slate, but it's going to be a continual owning every week of the season. One, because I'll be slow to adjust. But two, I don't have him. I have him on one high stakes team. That's it. But I have like 30 teams. So it's like, unless that's the one team that binks, it's probably going to be a minus EV Josh Jacobs decision for me. You know what I mean?
I guess so. I mean, he was playing Carolina. Like, I'm not ready.
They are so bad, the Carolina defense.
Correct. They're really, really terrible. I mean, he got a ton of work, and he got six targets, which was big, big news. And Jalen Richard only got one target. So
I mean, I think that should be the headline in neon blinking lights. If you like Josh Jacobs, that Jalen Richard basically didn't play in a game that they passed a ton.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they threw it 30 times. It wasn't. But, geez, Jacobs had six targets on 30 dropbacks, 20%.
All right, we'll get back to the guys here in just a minute. But I want to say a big thank you to DraftKings, sponsor here of the football feed. And it was great having football back this weekend. Hopefully you're out there sweating your lineups. And lucky for us, it's just week one. And there's no better place to get in the action than DraftKings. They're the leader in one-day fantasy sports. You can add into this week's excitement. DraftKings has millions of dollars up for grabs again in prizes. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head on over to that app store now, because you don't want to miss out. You just build your lineups. That's right. Keep it under the salary cap, and then you get to compete against your competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching games quite like having a shot at $1 million in prizes. So DraftKings, they paid out billions of dollars to winners since 2012, so they know a thing or two about winning. So here's what you got to do. Download the DraftKings app now. Use code GRIND, that's GRIND, and for a limited time, new users are going to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on week two action. Enter GRIND, GRIND, for a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code GRIND. Only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, let's bring it back to the guys and the Gilcast.
I mean, I wouldn't expect that. I wouldn't expect it moving forward, but, I mean, good sign if you're investing in Josh Jacobs. So, you know.
I mean, maybe that is what they want to do moving forward, though.
I mean, they'd be smart to. Jacobs is good, bro. Like, that guy can smack.
I mean, yeah, he was really good at Alabama. That's the thing, is right. He was a really good pass catcher at Alabama. He was the third down back, while Damian Harris was the grinder back at Alabama, and then it just made no sense that they turned Josh Jacobs into a grinder, and then they played DeAndre Washington, who's on the Chiefs practice squad, and Jalen Richard on third downs.
DeAndre Washington is good as the thing, but...
I mean, I agree with you. I think he is good.
Yeah. All my seasonal shares where I drafted him before it turned out that Darrell Williams was actually the backup. That hurt. But what are you going to do? Should we call Nate again?
He just texted us, and he said that he is hopping on in 10 minutes as soon as he's back home.
Where did he go?
I'm sure he just forgot about us, dude.
This is a tough day for Nate. Well, I hope he jumps on soon. I think we need to give him a nice hearty roast. I think that's what the people want. I think that's what the people need. I'm excited for Nate to. Do you think he'll? Okay. Do you think he'll take an L?
Yes, he will. I guarantee he will take an L for not having played Devontae Adams. And there he is. He's coming in the room right now. Nate, we're live. We're recording. You're on the show, and we want to know: will you take an L for not having played Devontae Adams? Do you grant that it was a mistake?
Of course. I wanted both of them. I wanted Godwin
yes!
and
yes. Devontae. Week one of the season, taking his first L. This is great. The new era.
So we've already gone through our whole lineups. We've done our whole thing. Why don't you just kind of take me through your day, bud?
I mean, I told you guys earlier, I was like, I am not in love with running back at all this week. I know you guys love to hate on me for the, you know, four wide receivers in cash, but I thought this week was like, I didn't feel good about any of the high price running backs. I thought Jacobs felt the best price tag considered, but didn't know where to spend the salary. And yeah, I mean, and then obviously I'm sure you guys already roasted me for it, but oh, yeah. I entered.
I also roasted myself because I am also bad.
Davis, yeah. The fact that my Saturday afternoon, like, placeholder lineup was literally a 1v1 of you should make you feel pretty bad. You spent how many months leading up to this season and you ended up with a Washington Redskins versus New York Jets 1v1 versus me?
I feel fine about everything I did except for Adams.
This was the lineup that Nate wanted to throw away.
This was the lineup that I at 11:55 when I'm having upload errors and I'm going, oh my, I have to roll with this dead lineup. And then I check and it's Davis's cash lineup. That was the only redeeming thing of this whole miserable thing for me. To know Davis had, after 500 drafts in the offseason, just grinding and grinding and grinding, is a 1v1 versus my placeholder Saturday morning.
I just needed Adams, bro.
And not CMC. The fact that Jacob was a bad play this week.
Because I knew he wouldn't be targeted, and then he was. And that's what happens, bro. Sometimes it happens. I did not have him projected for 3 rushing touchdowns, though. I wonder if that was accounted for in your projections.
No, I didn't have that either. That was just cherry on top.
So Nate, you open up the day by, like, boning your entire lineup upload. Davis texts and asks, hey, Godwin or Adams? And you're like, Godwin, bro.
But so, then I said a text later, but I'm probably going to have both.
But did you have both?
Well, no, in my actual lineup that I wanted to play, yes, but no, I didn't.
Then you missed the Gold Cast. I'm glad you're finally here. This is great.
Okay, this is the listeners don't get this, but Davis every single week for the last 3 years in the middle of the Sunday night game texts and goes, can we start recording, guys? Can we start recording? Guys, can we start recording?
No, this is not on me, Nate. We agreed on this, first of all, weeks ago. Then second of all, we discussed it this morning. Sammy will back me up.
I was sitting at home all day. Back. And I was like, I can record whenever because I have a dead lineup. And then I go out on a walk with my dog and you guys are all like, we're going to record before the Sunday night game for the first time in 5 years.
Which we agreed after the afternoon games is what we agreed upon.
Yeah, we did talk about this, Nate, but you're also right that Davis is like a closet boomer and needs to go to bed early, even though he doesn't have a real job. So he like says,
I do have a real job. That's what's so terrible about it.
That is incorrect.
The listeners,
but I mean, I have no problem being outed as a closet boomer. It's a real thing.
But the real story of this week is that Sammy had a smash week.
By playing Adam Thielen, who got
I
there.
I thought Adam Thielen was
I thought he was fine. I didn't think he was a fish play.
Wait,
I
you thought he was a fish play, Nate?
I probably built like 50 versions of lineups, and I don't think one of them had Thielen in cash.
Ah, wow. This is why your bank account is now empty and my bank account is full.
I thought that he was like a way worse play than Marvin Jones and Marquise Brown, but it got you the mental gymnastics to get off of Lamar, and that was like the biggest thing of the week, was because Lamar and Christian McCaffrey really were poisoned candy, right? It looks so good when they get 25 points, but it's really not good enough.
Well, I mean, the thing is it the right thing to do to live in 2019? You know, I mean, they were the fantasy winners in 2019, but does that always carry over and happen the next year? Not necessarily.
Well, so. I mean, and you are, so the logic for playing McCaffrey for me, a lot of the logic, because I played him on FanDuel too, is we don't know. Right. Well, they're just is going to be, we have no preseason. The reports we have on training camp are some of it are good. Some of it's good, but a lot of it is not good information. And regardless of anything else that's going on in the whole NFL, the Panthers are going to give McCaffrey the ball. And even though they didn't target him that much, they got to the goal line. They gave him the ball. And we just knew that was going to be true. We could think Josh Jacobs is going to be a bell cow. We can think Dalvin Cook is going to be a bell cow, but actually they gave Alexander Mattison, you know, a fair amount of work. We can think Alvin Kamara is healthy, but we just got a report that he had an epidural injection in his back, you know. Yeah. But just the one thing we know in fantasy football is McCaffrey is going to get 25 fantasy points. Like, he just is going to do it.
But at the same time, you're paying 10K. I mean, he was literally $4,000 more than Jacobs was. So.
Yeah, and let's, I mean, Nate, I'll be honest. Like, I thought Thielen obviously was a very good play. But he ran hot. Like, yeah, I ran mega hot with him. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, yeah, I knew Thielen was just going to, like, have 56% air yards. Like, I mean, I thought he would be the alpha, but to, like, catch 2 fourth-quarter touchdowns or whatever, like, yeah. that was certainly
– I just think that the mid-tier wide receivers was where all the value was this week. I thought that, you know, for me, I was on Godwin a lot. Obviously, it didn't work out because Brady is – terrible.
Dust. Brady's dust.
But yeah, it's good for me to get this out of the system now because I won't be tempted to play Buccaneers players at these prices for the rest of the year. Like, you can interest me in like $5,800 Mike Evans, but like $7,300 Mike Evans, no thank you.
Watching Brady throw interceptions and then throwing his hands around like Godwin or somebody's doing something wrong when it's like just clearly on him was great. But yeah, there's just so many wide receiver values this week in the mid tier. I mean, I thought Calvin Ridley was a smash at that price tag. I thought Marvin Jones. I think all of us had Hollywood Brown, right?
I did not have Hollywood. I played.
No, and that's Brown. Why. That's why Nate won. Or that's Nate, why Nate Sammy won.
Yeah, Nate didn't win anything. Nate scored 127 points.
But yeah, I thought that the mid-tier wide receivers to me just had so much more upside than these like these running backs that I'm like, I don't want to play a Dalvin Cook. I don't want to play these high-priced running backs. To me, it was either Jacobs or I mean, obviously everybody, you had to play Boston Scott and
yeah, I mean, but
you had to play Boston Scott and Gibson. You just had to. Those are like those, even if they fail. When you know a running back's going to be that high owned in cash games on DraftKings at 4K.
Well, Gibson didn't even really end up being owned, but we've seen this a million times where Gibson sucking doesn't kill you because it lets you get those wide receivers who just crush on DraftKings and worked for people who played Devontae Adams, didn't work for people who played Chris Godwin.
So if you lost and you played Gibson and you're like, man, I lost because I played – you didn't lose because you played Gibson. You lost because you didn't play the wide receivers.
Yeah, and so talk to Davis and I were talking about Hollywood a little bit. I thought he was a really good play. I didn't consider him a cash must, though, because, you know, he's just like a very, like, high variance kind of player.
No, he is – he is not. He is the new – who is Michael Vick's best wide receiver? I don't know. He's gonna be like the wide receiver 13 in fantasy at the end of the year. He's gonna be unbelievable.
I mean, dude, we talked about this on your podcast. My gold star bet of the year was to bet him over 800 receiving yards. Like, good day for me on that front. Like, I'm big on Hollywood Brown. I just think from a cash perspective, I rarely consider him a must because he's a very big time deep receiver, and if Baltimore ends up going up big, they don't have any interest in throwing the ball. Yeah. So I think he's definitely in a smash spot, but I didn't consider him like I have to have him in my cash game team. Like, I won't move off him.
Yeah, I disagree with Davis that I would say he's not volatile. He's definitely volatile. It's just at his price tag at 51.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe that's the better thing.
The guys that he was priced around were like
Dustbuck, Jamison Crowder.
Jamison Crowder, Henry Ruggs, Anthony Miller, Christian Kirk, Kendrick Bourne. Like, so was there variance? Yes. But at the same point, I could see his target percentage being above 20% here, which I thought, like, gave me a little bit of a floor there where those other guys could literally get two targets, you know? And yeah. I think with Hollywood Brown, we just know his upside. So he was definitely a variance.
He was like targeted more.
Will Fuller. Like, I'm just,
he was targeted more often than – you know what? That's actually a great comp. Fading Marquise Brown in this game, Sammy, I don't know if you were watching, but Marquise Brown in the last drive where the Browns or where the Ravens cared, they threw him a deep shot after he already had 5 for 112 or whatever, and it would have turned into the Kirk game for you or the Fuller game had he caught it, and he just didn't catch it.
I mean, yeah, bro, I still have nightmares about that Kirk and Fuller games, man.
I'll literally never forget it. I'll never forget those games.
So, Sammy, who was your three wide receivers?
I went Adams, Thielen, and Marvin Jones.
Okay, so we all had.
And then I didn't pay up for Lamar Jackson. I played Cam.
Yeah. So Jones was just too cheap. I think he was the other one wide receiver wise that I just thought. I felt so much better about the wide receiver value, and I shouldn't have. Even in a temporary, like, placeholder lineup, should not have thrown McCaffrey in.
Well, I mean, you guys just didn't play Adams. Like, you're talking about
all the it's like we could do a whole hour-long podcast and dissect all these mistakes, but it was like we didn't play the guy who was the best play of the slate, Nate. Like, right.
There's all this wide receiver value. Adams was the wide receiver value. Like, it was just complete fish move not to play him and be like, well, I'm going to Godwin. Like, that's going to work.
You know what the move was? It was just you, bro, you just fade Gibson, you play four wide receivers, and you smash.
You should have played four wide receivers.
If I would have played four, I mean, Devontae was a great play. He was at the top of every model. There was no, like, it was a slam dunk, and it wasn't like a – Yeah, I wasn't going to play Thomas this week, which I think was surprising for – I think you, Sammy, were like, Nate, you're not going to play Thomas? Like, he's your boy. I don't think I built a lineup with Thomas this week. I did have some that I was looking at with Julio, but I thought Thomas and McCaffrey were both just priced too high this week.
I played Michael Thomas on FanDuel. Not great.
I'm sorry about your FanDuel money.
On FanDuel, because of the way their pricing works.
You probably did better on FanDuel.
You just played Lamar Jackson and
you literally could play Lamar, CMC, and Michael Thomas and Zach Ertz because of the way their pricing works. So it's just like whatever. It's like great. Okay.
That's why you didn't win on FanDuel, because you always have too much money and you don't have to play the Washington DST.
Yeah, I got to play the Colts DST.
Right, yeah, and you lose because you don't play the best.
Well, no, I lost because everyone there played Jacobs too.
Oh yeah.
So
he actually was a play on FanDuel.
Instead of talking about Davis's dust that's burning money on FanDuel, what were some takeaways you had from week one? I mean, obviously I thought for me, like, watching Kyler and like his development. Yep. Was like probably the biggest thing I'm walking away with.
They lose this game last year 10 out of 10 times.
Yes. Yeah, and Kyler just seems DeAndre so much Hopkins
DeAndre Hopkins, the tales of his demise have
been much greatly exaggerated. He was going in the third round of fantasy drafts.
How do people think, I mean, do people not remember that he put up these numbers with quarterbacks that you literally would see on the street today? Like, he's now got Kyler Murray and people are like, oh, he's not gonna be able to do it.
I gotta take Tom Brady's fourth weapon and Mike Evans over him. I gotta take Scotty Miller's handcuff over DeAndre Hopkins.
I mean, Hopkins is just a baller and has always been at this level. Like, I'm not surprised at all. I mean, he had a 40-something percent target share. I don't have all of his air yard stuff because NFL's API is stupid this year. But
because you can't count that high. I mean, he was like 2 inches away from a touchdown.
Yeah.
Also, like a long touchdown.
I think the Cardinals are just going to smash. I think Kyler.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing. As Kyler we should talk and Josh about the Cardinals.
Going to be two of my favorite quarterbacks to play this year, I think.
Kenyon Drake is in a timeshare.
Like, Chase Edmonds season?
Yeah. Like he, it's a straight up 50-50. He got bailed out. He got bailed out by that touchdown, but it is, yeah, I mean, 16 carries for Drake, 6 for Edmonds, but Edmonds 5 targets, 2 targets. Yeah. Like it's like a 60-40, Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler situation.
Speaking of Austin Eckler, Sammy, are you, RIP in those seasonal, didn't you take him everywhere?
Yeah, I took him everywhere. I've already tilted my face off, I need to win a lot of money at DFS to make up for all the seasonal money that
Kelly looks really good.
See, for me, for me, Sammy, I worked so hard at seasonal this year that all my DFS losses are just going to be tax write-offs.
Yeah. I think the actual story is you worked so hard at seasonal that you forgot like the cardinal rule of
just play Devontae Adams.
Yeah, just play like the best plays and don't pay up for quarterback.
Well, you know, I was hoping that the salaries would be up. I think that with COVID, they're going to wait to put the salaries up until Mondays now. Would be my guess.
I didn't see that. Well, I'm excited to see how they're going to price Jonathan Taylor because
Jonathan Taylor.
I mean, so I have the 8-game thing on my DirecTV, so I'm watching the 8 games at once, and I'm just like Neo in the Matrix, like going, and every time. A couple times Taylor got the ball on like swing passes or screens on the outside. I was like, oh, who's that guy? Oh, that's Taylor. Like you can just see that athletic talent. I'm grinding the tape, baby. Like it jumps off the screen. And
don't you think Hines is like going
to
be
so much like Rivers just loves to throw to his running backs, dude. Yeah. Dude,
like Hines is going to be
Taylor 6 for 6 through the air. Hines 8 for 8. Marlon Mack 3 for 3.
Well, Mac got hurt pretty early.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is they threw 17 targets to their running backs and completed 17 passes. Like, I don't care. Like, Taylor can just get 6 of those or 7 of those, and he's going to be a complete monster. So I'm excited to see where they have him priced.
Where do you think Hines will be?
I'm trying to look at the schedule right now.
Then Taylor.
So it's going to depend. It's going to depend on who the Colts play.
So they put these like apps on your phone, Davis. They are at home against the terrible Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, dude. So Jonathan Taylor is going to be 6,200 and Hines is going to be 55.
Yeah, 55. And I'm going to have him.
Yeah.
I mean, forget that. Give me all the Jonathan Taylor, baby. It's
I think I'm with Sammy there. Yeah, because Taylor has way more in-game upside where like they might just go to him, like they might, like he might get like 10 straight of the team's carries or whatever. I don't think that would happen with Hines, though obviously he showed his upside today by scoring twice
and just getting touches all over.
And Paris Campbell too, by the way, is the lead receiver for Indianapolis.
Is TY just dust?
He's 100 years old, dude. Like, what do people think was going to happen? He's 31.
Oh, Jesus, that's brutal. Yeah, the guy's over.
Do we want to talk about Visca?
Yeah, I mean, dude, this is your time.
This is not time. Like
you buried the lead. Let's go.
Visca's not a DFS discussion.
Yes, he is.
He's an elapsed, but you're not.
If he is 40. 600 against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
He plays for the Jaguars, and he got 40.
They play the Titans. Team. They play the Titans.
Okay.
I mean, I'll play him in GPPs again.
Again?
Oh, yeah, I play. You think I wasn't going to play him this week?
I love you so much.
You really thought I wasn't going to, bro? Davis, starting wide receiver. He got the wildcat rushes. I spent all offseason telling, like, conservatively being like, yeah, I think he'll get some wildcat rushes, and then they did it in the first game. It surpassed my wildest dreams for him to both get a wildcat rush and a receiving touchdown in the same game.
They have such a wide target, like, share over there. Like, it's just going to be – there's so many mouths to
– Yeah, they targeted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 players.
Yeah, I don't want to touch – I mean, you're going to get some weeks where he's just not going to see a target because
– Well, I mean, Gardner Minshew only had one incompletion. So, you know, at some point, yeah. It's just like
– Okay, and you know what? The one incompletion was
Shark
to Viscus.
Shark only got like 3 targets this week. I think Shark's still going to get closer to like 7.
Well, I would anticipate that Keelan Cole is going to be the guy who dusts off here.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying that Jacksonville, there's so much I would not ever play Chenault right now. But
what did you guys think about Russ Wilson cooking? He got 35.
And they were winning that game too.
I know.
Yeah.
I think that's 35. Big.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, we always have known Russ's only like limitation is coaching.
The coaching.
Like, it's never been a question of his talent. Like, he can always do it. And Metcalf, Lockett, and Carson, like, he's got plenty of weapons. So if we see this over a significant period, like, I'll play Russ whenever. I just think you're not even betting on Russ when you're playing him. You're like betting on whether or not
you're just betting that Pete Carroll feels like throwing that week. I mean, and Chris Carson getting targets in the passing game, that's always been a reason why we haven't been as interested in playing him on DraftKings. And he was 6 targets, 6 receptions, 3rd on the team in target share.
It's
pretty
good. Several of these were like manufactured targets. They weren't just like dump-offs.
No, it was literally the Alvin Kamara swing play.
Yeah.
But for Chris Carson.
Yeah, so I like that. And Carson only got 6 rushes. Carlos Hyde got 7. Like, this was a game they were ahead the entire time. Like, when Russ says, let me cook, and then they let him cook, I mean, this could be, like, this is something to keep an eye on. Because if they give him volume, dude, with that pass receiving core, Metcalf is a straight beast. Like, Lockett is super good. Like, that could be a legitimately elite offense if they just, you know, take the reins off.
Davis, what's your take on Jacobs going forward? Is he going to
– So, this week I think we had him projected for 7% of Oakland targets. I think I'll move that to 10% next week. If it happens again, I'll think I'll move it to 12, you know. And then if he's a 12% market share guy plus a 75% market share rush guy, I mean, then he's an $8,000 running back on DraftKings.
Like, I had him around 7 to 10% this week, and he definitely surpassed that. If he's in the double digits of target
share, Davis says he's Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, if he gets 12 to 15%, he's Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
Okay. So big takeaways, Nate. The Texans are bad. The Chiefs are still good. The Seahawks are letting Russ cook. I'm into that.
I'm not saying the Texans. I'm still going to play. I'm going to play plenty of Will Fuller this year. And
yeah, Fuller every week.
Oh, sure. I'm just saying that's a bad team.
Sure there's weeks where Dusty DJ is going to be in play too.
We'll see about that. I think the Jets, I don't want any piece of them at any point.
Surprised you didn't jam in Le'Veon.
Le'Veon snapped.
Dude,
out.
I got saved. I got saved by adjusting our Le'Veon projection, because I had him for like kind of close to his stuff last year, you know, about 60% of the rushes, about 12% of the targets. And I was just like, you know what? There is just so much Frank Gore discussion going on, and I moved him way down.
Wait, is this why people were teasing you on Twitter about Le'Veon Bell?
Because we did the Swolecast on Wednesday, and I was like, you know, Le'Veon, he just is going to get a lot of touches, and I saved myself on that one.
Oh my God, that's so brutal, Davis. What are you doing, bro?
That could have made a great show.
Dude, he's like 80 years old. This is I'm glad you got saved. It didn't matter in the end, but like, that's fish stuff. You can't play no Le'Veon Bell. It's over.
It's over.
I mean, you just gotta work. You just gotta work through all the combos, dude. You just gotta look at all the stuff.
And then not play Davante Adams.
Oh, this is a big one. Nick Chubb, 100% completely unplayable. You can play him when Kareem Hunt gets injured. That's
when was the last time we saw somebody like that high in seasonal drafts that everybody loved? That was just like by week one dust.
Well, Austin Eckler.
Oh, God. I mean, that's so brutal. Oh. You are literally murdering me right now.
Sammy's just going to go on Instagram and find that picture of him with his shirt off and just go, I know he's jacked. I know he can do it. He can do it.
Dude, I'm legitimately nauseous right now.
Sammy's so ready to go put waiver claims in on Josh Kelly tomorrow.
I don't know what I'm going to tell my family when we can't make our mortgage because of Austin Eckler.
Let's see. James Robinson, the only guy to handle every running back carry in his backfield of all the teams today.
Wow.
Wait, did Thompson not get one rushing attempt?
No rushing. Wow. No rushing attempt. There were some people who were touting Chris Thompson as like it's not going to happen. Not going to work. Trubisky, you know, just gets 24 DraftKings points like he does. Like it seems like every time that they play Detroit, he always does that.
Allen Robinson is legit, guys.
Yeah, Allen Robinson's legit.
That catch was like,
so
he had an incredible catch this week.
Yeah, Ruggs left injured, but, I think he looks incredible. Like he looks like young.
What did Tyreek Hill?
He had 8 targets, but only 45 yards.
I'm sad that you didn't play Waller, Nate.
Yeah.
This would have been a much better podcast if you had just gone Waller and 4 wide receivers. None of them was Davante Adams. Like this would have been great.
No, I went Herndon who like fumbled it. Like I feel like in the end zone, like twice.
Yeah. That was brutal.
He's terrible.
Oh yeah, Waller got plenty of work.
Plenty of Whopper. Enough, not enough Whopper to feed your family, but enough.
I mean, he did lead the team in targets.
Well, I hope that you chase that. Right, I hope you chase that dragon, bud.
Oh, I will.
There is going to be every week that Ruggs gets better. Waller's role is going to get smaller and smaller. And Bryan Edwards barely played this week.
You got to find this year's Waller, Nate. This year's Waller.
His name is Logan Thomas. And it's already started.
The cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
Are you guys sure it's not Eric Ebron?
Yes.
Yes.
Eric Ebron is.
Sammy. Okay. This is a great way to end the podcast. This is how we're going to end it. I want you to try and justify the opinion that Pittsburgh is somehow a better team than the Kansas City Footballing Chiefs.
I mean, they're just a better football team than everybody. I think. I mean, Kansas City's there, you know, but I just think Pittsburgh is like, I think they have a legitimate argument is the best team in the NFL. I think they have the best defense in the NFL, just chock full of first round picks.
Here's the thing. They don't have the best argument as the best team in the NFL because they aren't better than the Chiefs.
I mean, we'll see in the AFC
if the Chiefs and the Steelers played 100 times, the Chiefs would win 70 of the games.
Well, it only matters the one that they play. Really, the offensive line, they have so many offensive
linebackers. This is such an old man football take.
It really is. It's like disgusting. It's like, have you seen Devin Bush play, dude? He just, the way he gets around the edge.
He gets off that line. I mean, literally, just the momentum. You can build an offensive line around him.
This is like the old Pittsburgh days. Defense, baby.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and a Hall of Fame quarterback behind a good offensive line, all the weapons. I'm telling you, I have so much money on Pittsburgh.
Locker room culture here.
I have so much – Mike Tomlin's culture, year in and year out. God. But for the last 12 years, I mean, this is really, really – you guys are going to be surprised, but I'm going to win – I'm going to make up for all the Austin Eckler money by the Pittsburgh seasonal bets that I put down. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to save my family.
Well,
the only thing that's going to save my family is if somehow Jameis Winston comes back to Pittsburgh to revive Godwin and Evans.
I mean, Tampa Bay should send New Orleans like a 5th round pick to get Jameis back.
Yeah. Do you think Godwin's like texting Jameis tonight? Like, dude, can you come back?
Do you believe Tom Brady will be benched this season?
No.
I think he will. Arians has to be.
It'll be like when Eli got hurt and they started Geno Smith. Like, it won't be like they benched him. It'll be like he got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His TB12 just stops working, and, you know, he gets the COVID and has to start accepting that it's real. And, yeah, they put him on the list, and that's his career. I mean, he's dust. Like, it's over. So.
Like, are we really going to –
we had a good run last year. We had a good run.
Are we really not going to be able to play Godwin and Evans this year?
No, dude. Like, Godwin at, like, 4,900 is going to be, like, a really good play. I mean, I'm serious. They're unplayable right now, though.
Like, I haven't even looked to see the numbers. I was just.
Did you watch any of the game?
Yeah, it was terrible.
But Brady looked like college Josh Allen.
He had some throws that were getting down. I need to look.
Did you see the third down where LeSean McCoy was running out in the flat and he threw it into the stands, dude. Like, he threw it so far over and out past LeSean McCoy, it went into the stands.
He threw his hands up
at LeSean McCoy like he ran the wrong route or something.
Hey, anytime you can put 43-year-old Tom Brady and 52-year-old LeSean McCoy on the field at the same time, you just got to go for it. That's a team to invest in, you know?
Well, what can you do?
Yeah.
All right, boys. That was the cast of Gills.
This is great. I just got to say, I love it when I win and you guys – I mean, I'd like you to win, but frankly, it's a little better when you don't. So I think the people are happy. I'm happy. Like, life is good.
I'm happy for you, Sammy. Today was definitely tilting. I had, like, 10 minutes that I was super upset. But the two things that brought me a little bit of joy today was that you won and just smashed so badly. And then the fact that Davis was literally one off of this lineup that I was tilting my face off over.
I needed the Devontae, and I didn't have the Devontae. What can you do? Or I needed McCaffrey to get 45.
Yeah, you needed some different stuff than what happened. Yeah. But there's always next week. It's only week one, Davis. We got a lot of weeks to go.
Dude, we have like 5 showdown slates before the next time I talk to you guys.
I'm just going to enjoy my money and not dock them off.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week.